It is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Jay McGraw. Now, let me explain the show and the way it's going to work tonight. Dr. Drew is God knows where. Anywhere but doing his job. That's his motto. At least this job. He may be working other jobs. Still getting paid for this job, but getting paid for other jobs
Smart
at the
man.
Same time. That's a guy who ought to write a book.
That's right.
How to Rape the Man should be the name of Dr. Drew's book. 10 Easy Steps to Ripping Off Your Radio Programmer.
That's right.
All right. Jay McGraw, let me get the phone number. 1-800-LOVE-191, fax number 310-840-4051. Jay McGraw authored Life Strategy for Teens, and his father, Dr. McGraw, had written a bestseller book. The hell's that thing called? Yes, Life Strategy. So you basically wrote the teen version of your father's bestseller.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That's right. He wrote the boring, long-winded adult version, and right. I translated it.
Yes. I don't read. I believe it poisons the mind, but I understand there's a lot of people out there that do, and they're certainly reading this book because it's now 10 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list.
It is. I guess somebody's reading.
Yeah. Is your dad proud, or does he feel threatened?
I don't know. I hadn't asked him yet. I think he may feel a little threatened. Well, he should.
What we're going to do tonight is we're going to obviously skip some of the medical problems because we do not have a physician here. Although after sitting here for 5 years, I'm practically a physician. So if one sneaks in, I feel confident. But what we're going to talk about is, this show's demographic. Teenagers, basically, or young folks, early 20s, people that are in a pivotal position in their life. They're at a fork in the road, and Jay's going to help shed some light on some of that stuff. And what qualifies you to write a book like this, Jay?
Well, I always say it's growing up with my dad. He's, they call him Tell It Like It Is Phil. I heard it a few times, so
right.
I feel like I've learned a lot that he helped me be successful, and I feel like that helps me, but helps qualify me at least.
And what messages are you putting forth, basically, in this book?
I think it's important for teenagers to realize that, regardless of our age, because it's easy to think that we don't have any control over our lives because our parents and our teachers and our aunts and uncles, whatever it is, they're creating all these rules, and it seems like we just have to follow them. But I think it's important for teenagers to realize that we do have a lot of power to control our own lives and at the same time get along with the authority figures so that we don't lose all of our freedom.
All right. So, wait a minute, I did write a book. That's right. I was about to say, I never wrote any books, but I got some advice. But you know what? I did write a book.
That's right.
I keep forgetting about that. I got to read that one day. But I do have a ton of advice. I was just sitting here yelling at producer Ann last night during a commercial. All the stuff. I'm going to write a book, 101 Reasons I Need to Kick My Dad in the Nuts. Because there's so many things I was never told, weren't discussed by either the family or the system or the counselors or the school or the peers. Just stuff about, for instance, career.
Right.
Here's my, number one career tip. You better enjoy whatever it is you're doing. I know it sounds trite. I know it sounds cliche. But you're going to be doing it for about 50 years.
That's right.
And everyone talks about education, and everyone talks about, picking an occupation as if you're spinning some big wheel. Do you want to be a doctor? You want to be a nurse? You want to be a lawyer? You want to be an astronaut? You want to be a fireman? Figure out what it is you like and do that.
That's right. You got to be passionate about something. Parents always ask, how do I keep my kids off of drugs or whatever it is? It's like, you got to have a reason not to. I played basketball, so... If somebody asked me to skip practice, I had a reason not to do that.
Right.
You got to be excited about something. You got to be excited about what you're going to do in your life. And, parents and teachers and all that, they're into the lecture. They say, I've been there and I've done that. You need to listen to me because I know best. Well, maybe you know best, but you know what? I haven't been there and done that. And I want to have some fun and I want to, learn some things along the way.
How old are you, Jay?
I'm 21.
21. How long have you had a fake ID?
I don't have a fake
ID. 9 years?
I'm 21.
I know.
I've got a beard. I don't need a fake ID.
All right, let's hop on the phones, and I'll just go in order here. Luna?
Hi.
You're 22.
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I'm in Chicago, so this would be a nice time for you to tell people who listen to your show a day late that the Man Show is on. But anyway, that's not really my problem.
Yeah, but the Man Show's on Sunday nights.
Not for, well, it's
on
Wednesday.
It repeats, I think.
Okay, whatever.
All right, thanks, baby.
Anyway, my problem is that I'm not able to, well, I'm having a hard time getting over the fact that my boyfriend doesn't want to marry me.
Uh-huh.
Is he still your boyfriend?
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
About 8 months.
And why is it, what's the hurry? You're 22, you haven't even been together for a year.
It's not that it's a hurry, it's the fact that he's been married twice, and it's, like, not even an issue. Like, if I bring it up, it's always like, oh, yeah, I see myself with you for a long time, I'd love for us to be together, and, like, we're supposed to be moving in when both of our leases are up.
Well, how old is he? But how old is he?
30.
He's been married twice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good find.
Yeah, why do you want to marry a guy who's been married twice already? I mean, the chances
because
are this one ain't going to last.
She was a horrible woman, and she cheated on him. And the first one, he, like, married her right out of high school, so that doesn't even count.
Right. And then soon we'll be talking to him about why the third one didn't work out.
She was 22, and, you know, I just...
yeah, she kept calling this,
like,
radio
why?
Show.
It's like if he loves me so much and we're supposedly so perfect for each other...
All right,
other,
but, baby, listen...
Why am I not good enough?
Listen, what's with the insecurities? You know what I mean? What do you mean, why are you not good enough? You've been together for 8 months, You practically, I mean, still should be in college, theoretically, or at least that age. What's the rush? Why you take everything so personally?
Because I do. That's
why?
My nature.
You know, all right. If you want to do something about this, you have to realize that you're letting him get away with whatever he's doing. I mean, I'm not saying that it's a good idea to get married to him right now. I mean, who wants to marry someone that doesn't want to marry them?
I wanted to marry him now, but I'd like it to be an issue. I'd like it to not be the... Yeah, why don't we just live together for 20 years, and why don't you give birth to 5 of my illegitimate children, but I'm never going to marry you, even though I did it twice.
That's
before.
Your decision to give birth to 5 of his illegitimate children.
Can you
children.
Get that in writing? Hey, Luna.
Yeah?
Why are you so loony, Luna? What's up with you? Something's going on.
I don't
on.
Know.
Why are you so insecure?
Because this is, like, the only nice guy I've ever been with, so I'd like to be with him.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're not wanting him to marry you. You're wanting him to accept you. You're wanting the feelings that you get from marrying him, and you can get those in a lot of ways. You don't even have to get them from him. And so figure out what it is that you're looking for by him marrying you and figure some other way that you can get that from another aspect of your life, because you don't want to marry some guy that doesn't want to marry you, especially not when you've been dating him for only 8 months, and especially not at the age of 22.
Yeah, and everyone, stop using everyone to make themselves feel a certain way. You use drugs for that. Right, Jay?
I don't advocate that.
Right. John?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing?
Good.
All right. I've been with this girl for, like, about a month now. And every time we're out and making out, you know, I'm at her house, I just can't get it up. I just can't get an erection.
Yeah. How far have you gotten with her?
About second base.
I see. And what is that these days? Anal sex?
No. I fingered her.
That's second base?
Yeah. Isn't
Holy
it?
Christ. No.
What's second base? Yeah.
Second base was copping a feel over the bra and sweater.
That's first base, I thought.
You talking about fingers is
yeah.
second base?
Yeah.
And what's third, oral?
Yeah.
And then home, we know what home is?
Yeah, that's...
I see. Yeah, okay. All right. Now, they've moved the bases around a little.
Yeah.
You got to get your signs right.
Yeah. All right, so has your penis ever had this problem before?
No, not really.
Does it work fine when you're on your own?
Yeah.
Like when you're going to third base with yourself?
That doesn't usually happen.
Oh, no, yeah, you either go second or home. You don't go third.
No.
You run right over the pitcher's mound.
Yeah.
All right, so you can't get, you're probably a little nervous around her.
I guess. I mean, I've done it before. I've had sex, too, so.
You on any medication or anything?
No.
Are you on drugs?
No.
You know, someone who's 16 is not on any medication, not doing any drugs. This is something emotional.
Are you, like, in her parents' bedroom?
What?
Are you, like, in her parents' bedroom or something?
No, her bedroom.
Is there a picture of Jesus up?
No.
Is that going to slow you down?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why, by the way, if I ever have a little girl, I'm going to look into Jesus wallpaper.
Oh,
I don't know if they have that.
Yeah,
that's
a good invention.
I may invent that.
That's right.
Yeah, just on the ceiling.
Be a rich man.
Not only, I'll have Jesus wallpaper going over the lamps, over the fixtures.
That's life strategies for parents. Jesus wallpaper. 250 pages of pictures of Jesus.
Right. Over the bed, she'll have like a 750-pound plaster of Paris life-size Jesus on the cross with anchor bolts to the ceiling.
You want to do what, John? Hang on, let me ask the Almighty.
All right.
John.
Yeah.
You're, this is a new relationship.
Yeah,
relatively
fairly.
New. I mean, you're a little spazzy. You're a little freaky.
Yeah, I mean,
your nerves are...
I smoked some marijuana, too.
All right,
that have anything to do with it?
Well, why don't you... maybe it does. Why don't you stop just to see if it has makes a difference?
Hey, what was confusing about, hey, John, do you do drugs? No, well, no, they just marijuana.
They don't count marijuana as drugs.
It's an herb.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, John?
Yeah.
Just relax, breathe deep, take it easy.
I was like making out with her for like an hour. And just...
Don't. Yeah, but you know what? You're putting the pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
You're freaking yourself out.
Yeah.
Don't move too fast. Just you got to get in that comfort zone with somebody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you meet somebody, you move too fast, your penis doesn't go along with it, you get nervous, and once it shuts down, it shuts down. Then your mind starts racing. Now you're in horrible shape.
I got you. So this is like when you have an injury, it's like do what the body lets you?
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying yeah because I'm a good host.
Yeah.
I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Good.
No, I do, and I want to further it by saying it's like if you go to bat, you're playing baseball, and you strike out your first two times at the plate. Don't go back in the dugout and totally change everything and question everything and analyze everything because now you're sure to strike out
your
third time.
All right.
Just relax. Try to forget about the first two outings and make some contact.
Yeah, try to forget about that, John. It's no big deal.
I know. It's impossible. But you have to stay with this one person long enough in order to sort of get comfortable and work it out. And let's talk to another John who's 19. John?
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing.
All right.
I just wanted to say before we get started that, like, you're my hero and you've got me in a lot of trouble with my mom.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Well, I repeat stuff that you say to her and she just gets mad.
Yeah, don't do that.
Stop?
Yes. I don't repeat things I say outside of the studio.
So it's all just an act you're telling
me? That's right.
All right.
I'm a short, black, gay man.
Thank I'll vouch you. For that. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, John, what do you want?
All right, I have this friend, and I wanted to turn into, like, a lover. And I was wondering, like, how I should go about doing such.
What are you doing right now, John?
I'm at work.
Where do you work?
A bowling alley.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a pin monkey?
Yeah.
No, you're not. What are you doing right now?
Do you disinfect the shoes?
No, I don't clean the shoes. I fix the machines.
I see. All right, John, is this a male or a female?
It's a female.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah. You want to sort of take her and convert her from friend to lover.
Yeah, exactly.
And girlfriend, right?
Legally.
Yeah.
Right. And how... Is that the sound of pins being knocked down?
Yeah.
Do you have a phone behind... Yeah. The pins?
It's the only place he can hide from his boss.
Exactly.
Are you on a cell phone in a bowling alley behind pins?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So, hey, John?
Yeah.
You need to ask her out.
Just ask her?
That's it. She'll know what you're talking about. How long have you been friends with her?
Like 2 years.
And do you think she has any interest in you whatsoever?
Yeah, I think she does.
Why?
She shows me her boobs all the time.
All right. Well, that's love. Ask her out on a date.
All right.
All right, and kiss her at the end of the date.
All right.
At least try to kiss her, all right?
Well, I plan on doing more than just kissing her.
Yeah.
I'm going to ease my way into this, John.
Yeah. John, you're a pretty confident guy who's asking for advice.
It's like, how do I make her a lover? I plan to do a little more than kissing her. It's like, you already got your mind made up.
Yeah, first date? Just slow down.
All right, slow down.
All right, John. Jesus Christ. This guy gives me a headache.
It's the pens.
I know. They must wreak havoc with your mind just sitting back there hearing pins fall. He must, when he closes his eyes, he must hear pins fall.
Incoming.
Yeah, he's like shell-shocked. He's like a Vietnam veteran.
Don't take her to the bowling alley, John.
Scott?
Yeah?
You're 15.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, Adam, you're a stud.
Oh, thanks.
What's it called? Every time I get oral sex, I can't ejaculate.
I see. Well, you got to turn your penis in.
No, see, like when I like during sex or on my own, it's fine. But when something happens, like I don't know.
Yeah, that's not your thing, the oral sex. That's how it works with some guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Drew about this once recently. I can't remember if it was on the air or not, so I'll just go ahead and repeat it, which is some guys are into oral sex, some guys aren't into oral sex, and there's really not much you can do to change that. All guys enjoy oral sex. It's just, it doesn't flip everyone's cookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't flip your cookie.
Well, but, like, on her, it does.
It Great. Flips her cookie to give you oral sex?
No, when I give oral sex on her. Like, it's
yeah, she likes oral sex on you. I mean, she likes you giving her oral sex.
I do, too.
You like giving it to her?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Give her oral sex and then mount up.
All right.
All right?
All right, thanks, Adam.
It's like a romper room for for retarded teenagers, this show. I don't like oral sex. Okay.
Here's a clue.
She likes oral sex. All right? I like giving her oral sex. Okay, let me grab my scratch pad. See, I like intercourse. Okay, all right, hold on there,
John,
Conan.
Get a chalkboard.
You then give her oral sex, uh-huh, and when you're done giving her oral sex, have intercourse. Fantastic. Enjoy, everybody. Listen, guys, I know a lot of you are freaked out because men claim to enjoy oral sex so much, and there's some that don't. What, hold on a second. Jay's pointing. Something's screwing with me.
Wait,
what's up?
I think he was 15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Get used to
I'm
it.
I'm just asking. I'm yeah. just asking.
You're saying that's a little old?
Yeah, you know. It's like, geez, he figured he'd work that out by now.
All right. Well, he sounded like he was in his 30s. Listen, not all guys love oral sex. All guys like oral sex, but only a few of us love it. Jane?
Hi.
You're 24. What's up?
Well, I want some advice on... I have... a good male friend, one of my best friends in the world, who's planning to get married, and I think it's a very bad idea. Most of his friends who I've spoken to about it think it's a bad idea, but everyone's sort of too scared to approach him. They think he's going to get angry. And I'm starting to feel like they're planning the wedding for late May of this year, and they have hardly made any plans at all. It's sort of like... It seems like neither of them are really that into it, and they're both very unhappy. You can tell when you hang out with them. They're treating each other very badly. They're fighting all the time.
Well, maybe they're just practicing for marriage.
Well, that's what I'm worried about.
Not a bad idea to get a jump on it, you know?
That's
so it's not such
said.
A tough transition once you're actually married. Well, Jane, what's in it for you?
Yeah, don't take on your friend's problems. You'll go crazy. Just worry about yourself.
He's just somebody that I would like to see. I don't know her very well. I don't like her very well either. She's not.
But you hate her.
Right.
In fact, I think she's horrible.
Well.
She's not someone I would get to know without, having met her through him. And yeah. I am worried that he will be miserable. And
yeah.
Well, he will be a miserable friend then.
Well, what's in it? All right, I understand that. Do you have any interest in this guy?
Well. I don't.
No.
Yeah,
oh,
she does.
That
now.
Was a big beat.
That's such a resounding no.
You ask any of my girlfriends, are you at all attracted to a... No! You didn't get my whole name out. No. Why? No.
I'm not attracted
Need
to
I explain?
Him.
You gave a big, long beat.
Listen, Adam, it's more like a sibling relationship almost, him and I. Like,
yeah. Well, you listen to this show. A lot of siblings have sex on this show.
No.
Listen, who are you kidding? You're interested in the guy. I mean, I just asked you if you had any attraction to the guy. You gave a good, like, five count, and then sort of in a weak voice said no. Of course you have some interest in the guy. Why can't you admit that?
Okay, I have some interest in the guy, but I'm not... At this point, I'm more worried about, you know, how to approach him about the way he's... I'm losing interest in him by watching the way he treats this woman, too.
Yeah. Good thing he's getting married.
Jane, here's what you need to confront him. You need to say, listen, if you marry this woman, it's over between us.
Well, what's the way to approach someone about that? That's just so, you know?
Well, listen, Jane, here's what you have to do, first thing. First is, you have to get realistic about your motivation. Now, I'm sure you care about the guy as a friend, and I'm sure you're worried about him making a mistake as a friend, but you also have to admit that you have some interest in him.
I'm also worried about losing the chance to see if anything could happen between him.
Right, so you have an ulterior motive.
Why'd you wait till he was engaged to, like, decide you wanted to take him out? Good planning.
That's too long a story.
Have you guys ever had anything?
No. No, he used to want to when we first met and we first becoming friends, and I refused. I said, no, absolutely not.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're no dummy.
Well,
hurry up, marry him off. Yeah, well, why not? Why? No, absolutely not.
Why initially?
If they're so bad for each other, let them get married. In a couple months, you can have your shot at him.
Oh.
No, no, seriously, I want to know the answer to this question, Jane.
Tell me the question again.
Well, you just said when you first met,
right,
he wanted to go out with you.
Well, okay.
But you said, no, absolutely not.
When I first met him, I was in a relationship with someone, albeit a terrible relationship, but, you know, that was my initial reasoning. But
right,
I think part of it was that I sort of sensed that I didn't want to just get into a sexual thing with him because I, you know, we were becoming very close friends, and I...
All right.
I'm working on not ruining friendships with people by, you know, sleeping with them if they're men.
Right.
Or something.
Me
like
too. But that's just with my guy friends. It's my policy. So far it's working.
I wish you well on that, Adam.
I've blown a few dudes, lost a few friends. I'm not going to make that mistake again. All right. Hey, Jane.
Yes.
I'll tell you. See, this is tough because you have a motive. So you're kind of the wrong person
exactly
to be analyzing this situation.
I know. That's why I don't know how to approach him. And nobody else that I know that knows him.
I'll tell you, Jane. Here's what I say.
What do you say?
At the risk of really living dangerously, you get one balls out letter to him. One letter where you say how you feel about him, where you say what you feel about her mm-hmm. and their marriage, where you say what you feel about the future, and that's it. He can respond to it. He can throw it away. He can take you up on it. He can do whatever he wants. You get one good letter.
So kind of like a, hey, I feel like this is a really bad marriage for you. Oh, and by the way, what's going on Valentine's?
I think you're hot. Yeah. No more than 20 pages. And whatever you do, do not let her find this letter. I don't care if you have to weld it into the inside of his truck fender. Do not do the kind of thing where you just sit. She will find it and he will leave it around. Guys are really stupid that way. Or they do it sometimes to sabotage things so they find it so the relationship ends. Anyway, Jane is not being realistic. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He is the author of Life Strategy for Teens. He has some good insights. And Dr. Drew will be back tomorrow night. So it's just me and Jay tonight. And we'll be back after this. Hey, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Jay McGraw. Now, let me explain if you missed the top of the show. Dr. Drew is anywhere but here. That's his new motto. He'll be back tomorrow night, God willing, with the lovely and talented Kathy Griffin. Will be in here. The big loudmouth redhead will be in here tomorrow night. So we'll. She's a good friend of mine. Well, no, actually, she's a friend of mine. But if you know someone who's in showbiz, they're good friends of yours because everyone says people are friends and they don't even really know each other that well.
You see? If you even know them, they're good friends.
Right. If you actually see if you have met the person once in show business, they're a friend of yours, and if you're actually friends with them, then they get bumped up to good friends.
I got you.
So Kathy Griffin is a good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I'm going to her wedding in a week and a half or something, so we'll talk to her about that. And she'll be in tomorrow night with Dr. Drew. Tonight, Jay McGraw is here. He has authored Life Strategies for Teens. It is on the New York Times bestseller list, 10 weeks running. His father's Dr. Phil McGraw, who wrote the first Life Strategies book, but that's for old farts. This one is for young farts. And let's hop back on the phones and speak to Lynn. Lynn?
Yeah.
You're 14.
No, I'm 24.
Oh, you're 24.
Yeah.
Well, it's a typo. What's up?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, I'm going through some really bad depression right now. And I have a really good way of hiding it. And I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
In March, I lost my grandfather. A day later, I lost my father. And then in June, I lost my baby brother.
How old was your baby brother?
He was 19. He wasn't really my baby brother, but...
No, no, I know what you mean. No, your younger brother.
Yeah.
And that was all within like a few months span.
This all happened last March.
How'd your dad die?
You know what? We are still not sure of that. He died in his sleep.
Oh, so he went just natural causes, or your mom hit him with a lamp?
No. I just keep thinking in my head he went because he couldn't deal without his father, which my grandfather died And then 24 hours later, my father died.
Yeah. Well, you do hear about that. I mean, people's spouses dying and they die, or even people retiring and they die.
Yeah.
So he died in his sleep. And then what happened to your little brother?
He was hiking and he fell 85 feet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a lot of death in a short period of time.
A lot.
All right. Did you get any counseling?
You know what? I've tried and it just doesn't seem to help. I mean, the couple of people that I've went to are just, basically I went to a hospice because that's what they offered us, you know, for free because I didn't have any insurance at the time.
A hospice?
Yeah. The hospice, they offered it to me.
Well, in a hospice where people go to die, basically?
No, they have counseling. I mean, like, the hospice people took care of my father.
You're
like,
wrong side of the deal here.
you're sitting on some AIDS patient talking to a counselor while he's sleeping? I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
all right.
I hide it, and I don't let any of my friends know. I don't let my family know. But I am, like, so torn up inside, I don't even...
Well,
I mean, deconstructive. What's the word? And I party constantly.
I see.
Constantly drinking, constantly going out partying.
Right.
How's that working for you?
How is
sitting around? I understand your grief, and I'm sorry about that. But how is it working for you to be upset and depressed about about something that's already happened all the time? I mean, that's not any fun.
No, it's not. And I can't bring myself out of it.
Well,
I don't.
Okay, who do you have in your life? What about your mom?
I have my mom.
And any boyfriends?
No.
No. What's the matter with the boyfriend?
Oh, they're just ugh.
Yeah.
Boys, weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why are you freaked out with guys?
Yeah.
No. Are you all right with guys, or are you freaked out by guys?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I just right now, I don't know. I don't even want one right now.
All right. Okay, let me give you a little speech here since we're talking about life lessons. I've had plenty of depression in my life. And, you know, I came to realize at a certain point that you don't feel good all the time. I mean, you're supposed to be depressed. You're supposed to be really depressed right now based on what's happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lost three key players in your life. That's a horrible time. And if you weren't depressed during this period, you wouldn't be human. So it's okay to be depressed. But what's not okay is to kind of pretend like you're not depressed and try to, you know, numb yourself with alcohol or drugs or loud music or whatever. Now, you should experience these feelings. But it is an opportunity to do some work because everything's opened up. You know, the wounds are open and they're painful. Before they scab over and scar over, you got to get into some counseling. And you just use this period. I mean, use it. Use it to reflect, use it to get counseling, you know, go on walks, you know, give yourself, use it for reflection and thought, but it's not going to be a great time in your life. I mean, there's no way you're going to look back at the year you lost three of your family members and say, hey, that was a pretty good time.
Good year of my life. But you have to realize, I mean, being upset and grieving over the loss of your family members is certainly logical and understandable. But in a lot of situations when somebody says, oh, I'm so depressed and I have been for so long, it's just an excuse to not go out and try something again because you think you're going to get hurt again. And so you have to realize that you're strong enough and you're mature enough to take a risk again and risk being hurt again. I mean, but you have to believe in yourself and you have to do it slowly. And I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't think that your grandfather, your father, or your brother would want you sitting around crying and partying all the time. That's not what they had in mind. But you have to trust yourself to take steps out of the depression.
Yeah, I hate to interrupt, but the brother does want her to drink. And he's a young guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, he don't want you to cry.
Yeah, no, he just wants her to get loaded. But the dad and the grandfather certainly don't.
Probably not.
Jamie?
Hi.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, okay. I have this 27-year-old cousin, and I just met him for the first time, like, this summer. And we hung out, and everything was cool. And a couple of weeks ago, he calls me up, and he's like, oh, hey. And he's, like, totally drunk. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
I just want you to know that I totally like you. And he kept asking me, he's like, where are you at? Are you in your room? And, like, all this stuff. And I'm all freaked out because I think he's like, I really like you. You don't understand. I don't know what I'm trying to say. And I was like,
calling long distance from Arkansas, I'm sure.
Yeah, where is he calling from?
He's calling from San Diego.
I see. That's Arkansas South, we call it.
Well, you absolutely have to teach your cousin.
That's from L.A., be west from Arkansas. But go ahead.
You absolutely have to teach your cousin. You know, Life, Law, Number 8 in my book says that you teach people how to treat you. You absolutely have to teach him that it's not okay to treat you like that. That's not normal. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. And you have to set it down immediately before it gets too involved and too too out of control. You have to tell him and prove to him that that's not going to fly around here.
Well, what do I say? Because, I mean, what if I'm wrong? What if, like, he's not hitting on me if I'm just...
Oh, listen, if you got that...
You're ambiguous, isn't it?
You got that creepy vibe, he's hitting on you.
Oh, I like you so much. I wonder if he's hitting on me.
He's hitting on you. But here's the deal. How often are you going to see this guy?
I don't know. He just moved to, like, Pittsburgh, so...
Once every 27 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, you did. You made it 27... Well, you made it 16 years without seeing him.
Yeah, for
he made it 27, although technically 11 of those you weren't on the earth, so it doesn't really count. But listen, Jamie, here's what I'm saying. I don't want to go against Jay's advice, and his advice is right on paper, but realistically, you're 16, you're a goofy girl, you're not going to call him up and straighten him out. Just avoid, you know, you're not going to talk to the guy. Just don't talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, but when he calls, you have to tell him.
Yeah, if he calls, just get off the phone with him.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you need... Here's all I'm saying. It's tough for people, especially young girls sometimes, to call people out. You know what I mean? To really confront them.
Right.
But it's real easy, because I've had women do this to me 1,000 times. You call up, and it's like... and they're like, hello? This is your pervert cousin calling. Where am I now? Pittsburgh? San Diego? I don't know. And you just go, hey, listen, I'm just heading out the door. I'm just going to cheerleading. I don't say cheerleading practice. I'm just going to nun practice. And I got to fly. I'll call you later. And you just hang up. Don't call him back. And then he'll call back like 2 months later, drunk mm-hmm. again. And you go, oh, hey, my mom's out in the driveway. She's honking the horn. She wants me to help with the groceries. Let me give you a call back. And you just don't call him back. And eventually they get it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You have to teach him that it's not going to work.
Yeah,
you have
train him.
I'm not saying you have to go over to him and say, hey, now I don't like the way you're talking to me, and I'd appreciate if you stopped. Just don't answer the phone. Don't talk to him. Teach him he can't call you and talk like that.
All right. That's good. Guy, he's all class. He gets loaded and calls his 16-year-old cousin. Chris?
Hey.
Yeah, that's a real good sign your life isn't turning out the way you'd like when you get loaded from Pittsburgh and call your 16-year-old cousin in Sacramento. I was like, what are you wearing? Hold on. Put Nanny and Pappy on. Let me talk to them. Hi, how you doing? How's it going? I can put it back on. What are you wearing? All right, Chris, what's up?
Hey, I'd just like to say, Adam, you are my savior.
Oh, thanks.
You're a genius.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks.
Okay, well, here's my question. This may sound a little dorky, but last week I was at a science fiction convention,
mm-hmm.
and I was walking around, and all of a sudden this guy comes up to me and starts hitting on me. But the thing is, he was 21, and I'm 15.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gay, but
right.
I didn't know if I wanted to pursue this or not, because I was thinking there was such a big age difference.
Right.
So we got to talking, and we got to know each other pretty well.
And was he dressed as a Klingon or a Tribble? Or...
Oh, no, this was a... I don't know if you're familiar with it, but he was dressed as a furry. It's a
hold on, so much better.
did you say fairy?
Furry. Yeah. It's anthropomorphic animals.
I see.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated.
Yeah, it is. It's way too complicated.
But
all right. I can't figure out my VCR. I'm not going to one of these conventions and hooking up with some furball. All right, but anyway, so what was a furry wear, by the way? Fur?
Imagine people at theme
parks. No, please. Just tell me what he wears.
I want to know what he's wearing, yeah.
Basically a big dog suit.
I see.
Yeah.
Now I understand the attraction.
Right. Okay.
And,
so yeah.
So we got to know each other, and then on Super Bowl Sunday, we went back to his room because he said he was tired. Stupid me, I followed him. And we kind of... did something that he could get in trouble for, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. You watched him lick his balls? What is he? Was he
the game?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Was he in the fur outfit then?
No. He was out of it.
You guys weren't watching the Super Bowl, were you?
No.
No, I knew it.
It's a landmark in time. It's not an actual event.
Yes. Hold on a second. Chris,
mm-hmm.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna make a little fun of you when we come back.
Okay.
But then we're going to solve your problem, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, yeah. You know, it's funny. He said, after the Super Bowl or during the Super Bowl, but my mind, my spidey sense started tingling. I said, listen, these nerd balls are going to these science conventions. They certainly ain't watching the Super Bowl. And I thought, even though he mentioned Super Bowl or Super Sunday or whatever it was, I knew he wasn't watching.
They were watching for the mascots.
Sure enough. All right. Everyone's getting into the act tonight. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He's a author of Teen Strategies, and we will, I'm sorry, Life Strategies for Teens. We will take ourselves a little break. We'll get back with a 15-year-old. What the hell happened to him? Did he just drop off? That son of a bitch. All right, we'll sort this out. We'll be back. Hey, love line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Jay McGraw. Jay McGraw is filling in for Doctor Who tonight. I can't remember that dude's name. I think it's starts with a D. Let's see.
David.
Drew. There you go. Doctor Drew. He'll be in allegedly tomorrow night and Thursday night. So two nights in a row, everybody. Also, Kathy Griffin, a very, very, very good close personal friend of mine, will be in. She is the wacky redhead. You know her from. Suddenly Susan, and I think I hosted the Billboard Awards with her. Was that? No, that wasn't the Billboard Awards. That was the something started with a B. I can't remember what it was.
An award show that started
with a B. One of those award shows. Yeah. Not Blockbuster. No, it was Billboard. That's right. The Billboard Awards. She hosted them last year with, like, NSYNC, and I did the year before with her. But anyway, she's real funny. She'll be in tomorrow night with Dr. Drew. Jay McGraw is a young author. He did Life Strategy for Teens. It's 10 weeks now on the New York Times bestseller list. And when we left off, we were talking to the young guy who had a little run-in with a guy who was dressed as a koala bear at some science fair. But we got our lines crossed, and we hung up on him by mistake. And if he's out there, he can call us back. I don't know if he'll get through, but I really do want to talk to you again. And until then, we'll talk to Trevor, who's 22. Trevor?
Hello?
What's up?
Actually, it's Travis.
Travis.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah, come over there and put a M80 in your ass. You keep doing this thing. Yes, thank you. Go ahead, Travis.
Hey, what's up, mayonnaise?
What's up?
I made up my question. I just wanted to tell you guys that Adam, you're hilarious, and Dr. Drew, I know that an old lady dropped a roll of nickels at an Indian casino in Kansas, and he went over there to pick him up, but he's cool too.
Yes, he is when he's here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
enough of the compliments. I got a couple of criticisms.
Okay. All right, turn him off.
No, God, this is the best part of the show. Go ahead.
No, it's not you guys. Your new program director is a moron because the show was a lot funnier when Anderson was dropping in those little clips.
Yeah, I miss that myself. But he's not our new program director. He's just our old one. What's that?
Yeah, well, I think you guys need to upgrade.
All right.
And your phone screener is kind of a bitch.
All right.
But, other than that, you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Listen, say whatever you want about this show, as long as you don't critique me. I have no problem with that.
No, you're awesome.
Thanks, Travis.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Good times. All right, let's talk to Nathan, who's 16. Nathan?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
How are you doing?
Pretty good. I kind of made up my question like the other guy.
Nice.
What's so funny?
Well, it's just two in a row, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. But my actually real question is that... my girlfriend, every time I try to get intimate with her, her, like, B.O., just, I can't stand her B.O.
Yeah.
Like,
you didn't have to make one up to get that question
yeah, really.
On there. And by the way, everybody who calls this show and makes up a question, just hold on a second. I don't read the questions. Drew usually reads the questions. I just sit here and punch the buttons. So I don't know what's on there, so you don't have to tell me you made it up.
I didn't make it up, though.
Well, you didn't make up the B.O. question.
No.
Right. I'm just saying... Remember the part of the conversation many years ago when you were telling me you made up a question to get on the air?
No.
Don't worry about the B.O. then. You can't even remember it.
What?
Nathan.
Didn't you say that you made up the question like the last guy?
No, I made up my question, you know, to make you guys pick me first, you know.
Right.
Make it better.
That's what I'm referring to, buddy. That's exactly what I'm talking. You sure you don't have a pot question too?
No, I'm sorry about that one.
Okay, your girlfriend has BO.
Yes.
Where's it coming from?
Her armpits, probably.
I see.
Yeah.
And
she American?
Yeah.
Is this all the time?
Yeah, not really, but just like when I get really close to her every time. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And is this when you're being intimate?
Yeah.
Is she trying to tell you something?
What?
Is she trying to tell you something?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know exactly what to do. Do I just hand her like a stick of, like a extreme, you know, like
no
deodorant or?
Well,
like
wait till you get the sex and then start delving out the deodorant. Oh, listen, here's the deal. Some people work up a certain scent when they're in the mood, you know, when they're being intimate.
Really?
It's an extra kind of thing that's going on. Maybe more hormones, more secretions. I don't know what the biology is.
Yeah.
But certain people, when they're being intimate, work up a little more BO than they would normally.
Okay.
That may be her, or does she smell when you're not being intimate?
Well, not really. I mean, I don't really notice it that much.
Yeah. How's her hygiene?
Pretty good, yeah.
Seems she, Sunday
she
night,
everything, yeah.
Sunday night's bath night?
Yeah.
She sticks with that pretty good?
Yes.
I'll tell you, I don't know too many ways around this one. I mean, you can either tell her or you can take some of that Vicks VapoRub and put it under your nose.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, remember that movie Silence of the Lambs when they're doing the autopsy scene? And they fish that chick out of the swamp and they all put that stuff under their lip?
Yeah.
Under their nose on the lip? You could try a little of that. That might not be bad.
All right.
But why don't you take a shower with her?
Okay, yeah.
Well, that's not... don't laugh that off like it's retarded logic. You could get intimate and take a shower with her and, like, scrub her down.
Yeah, I guess that'd work pretty good.
Well, what do you want me to...
Scrub her down?
All right, get in the jacuzzi with her. Get some, you know, I don't know. I don't have any great advice for this. Another thing is you should learn to love your woman stink.
You could do that. You could do that.
It's kind of hard, like, when you're banging her or whatever, you just...
No, you don't smell anything when you're banging her. How dare you? What happened to chivalry? That's going to be my next book.
What happened to chivalry?
It's going to be, what the F happened to chivalry, you tards?
That or you don't smell anything when you're banging her.
All right, let's talk to Lauren, who's 18. Lauren?
Hi.
What's
hi.
Up?
Okay, well, yeah, I'm 18. My boyfriend, Seth, is 22, and he's my first sexual partner, I guess. And we've been going out for a year, but the past 2 months, our sex life has really been non-existent. Like, he doesn't want to have sex.
Well, that's what happens when you date a guy named Seth. You got to find a guy named Jake or, you know, Bruiser or Dutch or something. These are guys that are ready to go all the time. Seth.
Well, I mean, there was no problem at the beginning. Like, we were kind of kinky. And,
yeah, well, you know, here's a clue.
We had a lot of things going on, and, I mean, we had sex, like, a couple times a week.
Right.
Like, four times a week, and now, the past 2 months, we haven't had sex at all.
What's it, so, what's it down to now, like, once
it's
a month?
It's down to, like, well, we haven't had sex in the past 2 months.
Right.
But leading up to that was, like, once every 2-3 weeks.
All right. Do you think he's kind of pulling out of the relationship?
No, definitely not. Like, I've been going through some sort of hard times. Like, I got kicked out of school and some of my parents, and he's really been really supportive. And we've been fighting a lot, but he constantly tells me how much he wants to make everything work, and he's really, you know,
yeah,
really
but
cares
you've
about
been
me.
Fighting a lot.
Yeah, we've been arguing because, like, of the stuff that's been going on in my life.
Yeah, but maybe, well, listen, I don't want to freak you out, but maybe he's kind of done with the relationship and he's too freaked out to break things off because of all the trauma.
Have you asked him about it?
Yeah, he's definitely the type of person that if he doesn't like something, he'll let you know. Definitely. Like,
all right.
Well,
but have you asked him about it?
Yeah, I'm like, do you still want to go out? And he's like, yeah, Ash, I know we're having, you know, like, I know we're having a hard time, but, you know, I really care about you and this will pass and whatever.
Is your name Ashley?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Smooth listen. Move.
Here's the deal, Lauren.
Seth is loving that.
I know, I can't
wait. Here's the deal.
Sorry, Seth.
When you call up with the bogus name, it's important not to refer to yourself in the third person. She used Ash, but...
That's hard to do, you know, to call yourself by your own name.
If you really think about it, in the course of a 2-minute phone call, to screw up and call yourself by your own name in that 2 minutes is a fairly tall order. I mean, look at it this way. We could go months and years without calling ourselves by our own first name.
I hadn't said my name yet.
Right. It's like, until I win the Super Bowl, I'll not be talking about what's good
That's
for
right.
what Adam
Jay's
Carolla
going to
needs
Disneyland.
To do.
Hey, right. Ashley, listen. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. You have to ask yourself, I mean, is he really interested in me? Because, I mean, it sounds like you're, yeah, I've asked him. Yeah, he still wants to go out. I'm not quite sure that's the case. So I would actually, I would look at that a little more closely and see what you actually
think. I agree. And if he's such a straightforward guy, he can handle the truth. Say to him straight out, we haven't had sex in a while. It's dropped off. What's up? He confronts things. Let him confront that. We'll be back. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Jay McGraw. Jay McGraw is the author of How to Kill Your Kids and Make It Look Like an Accident. No, Life Strategy for Teens is the name of the book that he's authored. 10 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. His dad is Dr. Phil McGraw, who wrote Life Strategies. What year did that book come out?
That came out a couple years ago.
And that sold 1 billion copies?
It did pretty well.
Oh, it's got to suck having a dad.
Did average, I guess.
Got all the answers. Your dad's a doctor. What kind of doctor is he?
He's a psychologist.
Oh my gosh. You poor son of a bitch. Must be horrible. Is that horrible for you, having dad as a therapist?
Oh, it's all right.
It's all right?
Yeah, all right. I learned a lot. Right. And now I can share it in Life Strategies for Teens.
All right. Just suppress that anger. We will, Drew will be in tomorrow night with the zesty Kathy Griffin, and we'll now go to, wait a minute, we got the guy who hung up? It sounds too good to be true. Is this the guy who hung up, sir? Yeah? How the hell did he get back on? I'm always offended when someone can call in and get on. So I talk to people all the time as I've been calling the show for 6 months straight.
And can't get through?
Right. I got one guy jerked off a tribble. And he gets in 10 minutes later. Let's just see if it's him. Chris?
Hey.
Hey. All right.
All right, now, what was he dressed like?
Sorry we hung up on you.
Oh, that's okay.
Let me, is your phone running out of battery juice?
Kind
of. I'll kill myself. Do you have a better phone to get on?
No.
You don't have another phone in the house?
No.
Oh,
I think this one can last a little bit longer, though.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, anyways, we went back to his room.
Right, this is a guy you met at the science fiction fair.
Yeah.
Okay, convention. And he was dressed as a Wookiee?
As a big dog.
As a big dog.
Yeah. I see. And, all right, you went back to the room with him, and what'd you do with him?
A little bit of everything, to tell the truth.
Right, oral sex?
Yeah. You can go down the list. We probably did it.
How about the behymen? Is that still intact for you?
No.
No?
No.
Did he rupture the behymen?
Yeah, he was first one.
I see. He wasn't still in the Wookiee suit, though, was he?
No.
I see. And he's a 21-year-old gent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you spoken to him since?
Yeah, we talked online a couple times since
right.
then. And
right.
he says that he wants to continue the relationship and that he's going to come back down to see me sometime soon.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know if it's healthy to pursue it or should I just tell him to stay away?
Well, where's back down? Where are you calling from?
I'm from California.
And he's from where?
Texas.
He's not from the Nebulon Galaxy or something. Okay, listen, this is a disaster because he's from Texas, which, as we all know, is just the armpit of the United States.
Hey,
oh, and Jay's from Texas, that's right. Yeah, don't mess with Texas.
That's right.
He's from far away. You're from California. You're 15. You need someone more your own age. Mm-hmm. You're gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
And it's going all right?
Mm-hmm.
And how about getting involved with, like, some youth gay teen, you know, services or center or something like that?
Okay.
I mean, listen, you cruising the internet meeting guys from faraway lands is not going to be a good plan for you. And as a young gay male, you're going to have a lot of screwballs coming at you. And this guy, the difference between 15 and 21 is a lot. And I don't trust this guy.
Hey, Chris, as we say in Texas, that dog won't hunt around here. You know what I mean, Adam?
What's that?
That dog won't hunt around here.
Well, what's that mean?
It's just not going to work.
Oh, I see.
The dog won't hunt around here.
Yeah, I'm from North Hollywood. our adage is that hobo won't vomit on the mattress. It's a little different, but it means the same thing.
Yeah, and this guy's dressed like a dog.
He's physically dressed like a dog, so it really is apropos.
Carries a little more meaning.
Oh, these batteries on these phones. I got to do a quick minute on this. You guys, you use those portable phones, not a cell phone, but I'm talking about just a portable one you walk around your apartment with. They have these They have the pager system on it. There's that big button you hit on the handset when you lose it, and it goes meep, 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 so you can locate it.
Right.
Do you have that,
yeah,
Jay?
Yeah.
Here's the thing I can't figure out. My phone, which is a nice phone, gives 2.5 to 3 seconds worth of beeps and then stops, and then you got to walk back to the base again and hit the page. So here's how it goes. Picture me, 1:30, stoned, standing in my house, which has an upstairs, and I can't find a goddamn phone. So I hit the thing. It's like, hit it. Beep, beep, beep. Now, I take one step to the right. I stop. I take one step to the left. I stop, and then the phone stops. And I go, okay, now I have... Okay,
okay,
I
don't take one step to the right or left. It's not there.
I'm no closer. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to commit to one side this time.
Okay.
Hit the thing again. Meep, meep. Now I go hard left. Meep, 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 meep. Now it stopped. Okay, right. But it was getting weak.
Okay.
So it ain't to the left. About the fourth or fifth time, as I try to throw a slipper at the page button so I can get a head start at the thing and sprint around the house, I think to myself, how much harm would it cause if they just made the goddamn thing beep until I got to the phone?
A little longer.
What would that do? Potentially. Yeah. How much trouble would that cause? Forget about a half hour. What if they just gave me 15 seconds to find my phone?
That would be logical.
Obviously, the phone is lost. Obviously, I'm in no shape to find it. Obviously, it has slid between the sofa pillows, wherever it is. It could be upstairs underneath the mattress. I don't know where the phone is. That's my point. Give me more than 5 seconds. I don't know if anyone's listening who's working on this technology. Please let the phone beep until I get to it and then push the button on it that would shut the beep off. And again, what is the worst thing that could happen if they let the thing just go for 20 seconds?
How you find it. I had a portable phone that when you would hit the intercom, the base would beep and the phone would beep. So it was impossible to find it because all you could find was the base.
Right.
That was,
you're just going insane.
Yeah. Quit solving for a full minute.
So what's that?
Mine goes for a full minute.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
What kind you
next
got,
phone.
Anderson?
I don't know. It's a phone, dude.
Jesus Christ. Look at you.
Full minute.
You're a lowly engineer, and look at me, a big radio and television personality. I only get to 5 seconds.
The problem is he knows exactly how long his phone will beep.
59 seconds.
Oh, okay.
All right. We will
quit solving cancer. Fix the phone beepers.
Thank you. Let's talk to Ruby. Ruby?
Hi.
You're 20. What's up?
Okay, I like this guy, and he's a lot bigger than me, and we like each other, and I was wondering if there's any other positions that we can have sex in without me being on top.
Wheelbarrow.
Is that it?
That's all.
Really?
Yep. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep us informed.
All right, let's talk to Tom.
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute. I feel bad. Ruby, did you hang up, baby? She hung up. All right, let me speak to Ruby for just a second. Was the position he's on top of her? Was that Ruby's position?
Other way around.
She was on him?
Yeah.
No, he was on her with the big penis, right? All right, here's the point. You got to relax, because if you're scared of the penis, it'll hurt you. Penis like a dog. It sees fear, it attacks. That's how my penis is. Let the penis sniff. I'll put my hand out, let it sniff my wrist. So, yeah, okay, good boy, good boy. Come here, come here, come here. There. Yeah, you like it under the chin, don't you, buddy? No, but if you're freaked out, you're going to tense up and the penis is going to hurt you, okay? So you got to relax.
How do you know this?
I do. Why? Because
how does he know so much about this?
Raped multiple times in summer camp and then prison after that. No, I've done this show, and I know that there's this vaginismus thing where the women actually tighten up. The pelvis tightens up when they get tense. So if they're scared of something, they tighten up, and it aggravates the situation. I should really be a professor at one of those colleges you talk about. All right, so she needs to get in a position where she can control the depth, which is her on top.
She's wanting variety.
Oh, my, hold on a second. Am I talking about a penis for a half hour and he was a fat guy?
Yeah.
You said he was a big guy and he was hurting me. Big
she's
fat guy?
Being crushed.
Oh. All right, scratch all that about getting raped. Well, you go doggy. Or you get on top, right?
That's the problem. She's on top and wants variety.
All right, then doggy. Doggy won't get hurt unless he, like, pulls a Brody and, like, lands on you or something, right? He could go doggy. And what are you doing giving fat guys sex? What's going to be his incentive to lose weight? You shouldn't give fat people sex.
Help it's, America.
It's their incentive to lose weight. Thank you. Anna?
Hi.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have this problem with guys. Like, well, I get around them, and I get really nervous, and it could be around my best guy friend, or it could be around, like, any ex-boyfriend I've had or a guy I like. And I get this feeling in my stomach, like, if I was going to throw up. And sometimes it gets to the point where I have to literally go to the bathroom and, you know, puke because I feel sick. And my question is there anything that I could do to get over that?
Were you, like, raped or molested when you were younger or anything?
No. It recently started about a year ago.
Well, just to, so I don't make an ass of myself, is your boyfriend a fat guy?
No.
No. Okay. And it just started this nervousness.
Yeah, about a year ago.
And did you say it's around your friends or only around guys?
Just around guys.
And guys you're going to be intimate with?
No, just they could be friends or anybody.
But just men?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I sort of agree with Jay. I mean, what's up with you and guys? You're never traumatized by a man?
I'm completely fine with men. I'm just...
Well, wait a minute. You're not completely fine with him. You want to vomit on him.
Well, yeah, I know, but...
Other than that, you're fine?
Huh?
You're fine other than wanting to vomit on them?
Other than that...
I don't vomit on them, but I just feel sick when I get around them.
Okay, where's your dad?
Sleeping.
How is he?
Huh?
How is he?
He's fine.
You like him?
Yeah, I like my dad. My dad's nice.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah, I'm a virgin.
And are you religious?
Not really.
And...
I do go to church, yeah.
I see. God bless you for going to church, even though you don't believe in anything. And you're never raped, you're never molested. Did your dad ever physically hit you?
Mm-mm, my dad doesn't. He doesn't believe in that.
I see.
My dad doesn't believe in abusing me.
All right. Well, hey, different structure, different folks. Who am I to condemn his ways? If it works, fine. God bless him. More power to
him. How about your uncle or your ex-boyfriend? Or has anybody abused you or molested you in any way?
Well, when I was young, I lived with my aunt, and they used to fight all the time, and they would get to the point where they would want to kill each other, literally. And so maybe that's why, but I was around 4 years old then.
Mm. Why did you live with your aunt?
Huh?
Why did you live with your aunt?
Because when I was little, my mom and my dad got divorced because my mom was a drug addict.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really have a mom either.
Ah, well now we're...
Just left that out, did you?
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And why didn't you live with your dad?
Because my dad couldn't take custody of me right then. Because I have no clue why. He just never told me.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the point, Anna. There's more floating around here than everything was fine. I don't know why I'm freaked out by guys. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had a pretty rough childhood.
Yeah.
Parents had kind of a pretty rocky divorce.
Yeah.
Your mom is a drug addict.
Yeah.
Unfit to be your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You went over to your chaotic aunt's house and watched them go at it. Probably scared the ass out of you. I mean, that's just real terrifying when you're 4 years old and people are really, you know, going at each other.
Yeah.
So you're scared of getting hurt?
Yeah, probably. That's probably it.
Do you trust that you're, like, strong enough to not get hurt, to not put yourself in a situation where you're going to get abused or hurt in some way?
Yeah. I feel like I'm strong enough to where I don't have to be afraid of things. I don't know if there's something wrong with me.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're normal and you're human, but you grew up inside basically a Cuisinart.
Uh-huh.
Of an ass-filled Cuisinart, all right?
Uh-huh.
And you're going to have to get a little therapy.
Okay.
All right? Because this is the kind of thing that's going to take a little bit to undo. It took a while to do, and it's going to take some time and some effort to undo. There's no way you can grow up seeing that, being exposed to that, having a junkie mom who abandoned the family and a, you know, dad who dropped you off at the aunt's house. And I'd like to see what's up with this great dad that couldn't handle his own kids for quite some time.
They just arbitrarily take him away.
Yes, and dropped him off at the screwball aunt's house. I mean, there's stuff going on here, and that's what's you're feeling the residue and manifestations of yesterday today. So,
but you have to realize that being scared is a way of protecting yourself from other people. And you say that you're strong enough to handle whatever situation you're in, but I mean, you're puking every time you get around guys. So I would disagree with you. But you know, like Adam said, I'd get a little help. But realize that you you're not the one that was messed up before. It was those other people. Don't let them affect you now.
Yeah. Well, you are messed up now, but that's all right. You fix yourself. You get some therapy. The only way you're going to continue to be messed up is if you don't admit you're messed up. Thank you. Heidi?
Yes.
You're 28?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, so I have sort of gotten myself in a situation where there's a possibility that I could be in, like, sort of a fetish lingerie show.
I see.
Locally.
Sure.
Which, you know,
you gotta start somewhere.
well, I don't want to say where, obviously, but I sort of volunteered for it because I think it would be fun. It's at a local club.
Uh-huh.
But here's the problem. I work with kids.
Right.
And I eventually think that someday I want to go into, like, children's television.
Right.
So I'm worried that, like, some mother is going to find out about this.
Well, maybe you could work bondage into the children's programming.
No.
You want to go into children's programming and television. Like, doing what? Like, hosting a show?
Yeah, something like that.
I see who's the next Hobo Kelly. Someone like that?
So, something like a, you know, like informational type thing, educational.
I see. And what? Then why risk it? What's drawn you to this lingerie, this fetish lingerie? And what is that fetish lingerie?
Well, it's not, the thing is, like, so it's not just going to be fetish. It's going to be, like, Valentine's Day stuff. And it's not all lingerie. It's going to be, like, some goth stuff.
Hey, why do this?
Because I'm bored, and it seems like it would be fun. And
that's not why. There's a lot of ways to have fun. You're wanting to do it because you feel like all these people that are watching you are going to accept you. And you can get that acceptance in a lot of ways, and in a lot of ways that don't ruin your chances of working with kids for the rest of your life. I mean, I want to say, like, for the kids' sake, go ahead and do it. Maybe we can all find out what's going on here. But, don't do that. Find the acceptance, and if it's actually fun that you're looking for, you know, go to an amusement park or something. I mean, you don't have to get naked in front of a group of people.
Yeah, what will you be wearing?
Well, I haven't picked it out yet, so I get to pick it out. But
well, you get a few different outfits?
It's going to be like four different things, and one of them has to be fetish. But the
fetish
really skimpy.
Right, but fetish, you're not going to be wearing like a potato sack with a shower cap on or something. You're going to be wearing like some nipple clamps.
Well, more like leather and chains or something like that.
Right, all right. Well, is this something you're into, or you just you said you weren't into it, but you sure you're not into it at all?
Well, I do. I go to some goth clubs and stuff like that, and I used to be a lot more into it when I was in college.
So but you go clothed is the difference.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to be clothed, but the thing is,
right.
Like, instead of
all
being
right.
at the club, I'm
well,
going to be in the show.
Listen, Heidi, you're bucking for a career in children's television. Maybe you just, why chance it? I'm with Jay on this one.
I mean, you don't necessarily want to dress in goth lingerie, which is probably kind of an oxymoron, and dance in front of a bunch of people. You want the feelings that come from doing that, and you can get those in a lot of ways that don't ruin your chances of doing educational tapes for children in the
That's
future.
Right.
But
about robbing a bank or something.
Yeah.
Well, listen, hey, you're 28. What's up there, baby? You're going to goth clubs? What's up? You sound like you're 17. You got a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Have you got kids?
No.
What's up with the boyfriend?
It's fairly new.
Yeah. What is he, 23?
No, he's in his 30s.
He is. Own a goth club?
No.
Is he all right guy?
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Okay. Hey, you're 28. So start slowing down. You do what I do. You wait. You sit home, you wait to die.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
No, it's all right. You don't have to kill yourself. You're just waiting to die. There's a difference. All right, Heidi, if you want to get into kids' TV, don't do it.
Okay.
All right? And please, can't you aspire to more than children's television? That's for knuckleheads.
Well, thanks.
All right. And don't, whatever you do, and I'll say this to Jay, too, don't write any kids' books. I swear to Christ, my mom has a friend who used to be a neighbor of ours. God, I hope neither one of them is listening. She writes these kids' books, and they suck. And the reason they suck is because there's 3.5 words per page, and then you turn the page. And she doesn't illustrate them. And my mom is always, like, beaming. She's like, Dorothy wrote a new book. And I go,
Dorothy had a new thought.
You want to see? She's published. I said, okay, let me see that, Mom. The twins hopped on the bed. Turn the page. The twins fell on their head. Let's turn the next page. The twins played patty cake. Twins bake the cake. All right, I'm done with the book.
Now, this is an unfinished manuscript.
This woman is, and she's like, isn't that amazing what Dorothy's doing? I'm like, a retard could put a crayon in his ass and write this book, Mom. Oh, somebody's jealous. No, Mom. No, does she illustrate? No, she doesn't do the illustration.
She's not an artist.
She's the author of the book. Listen, I could get a tape recorder. I'll do 15 children's books in my car before I make it home.
Second job. But Adam, she's published by Kinko's.
Three words per page. You're writing a children's book. That's why it always drives me nuts when these celebrities sit down and decide to author a book. She's written 15 children's books. She wrote them over a weekend when she was high. 15 children's books? That's 25 words. All right. Where the hell are we? We're taking ourselves a little break. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He's the author of a real book, Life Strategy for Teens. It's got to be 245 pages.
Oh, all right, look at you.
233.
For a man that doesn't read.
Where are we at? Now, I know the weight of books. I pick them all up and look for pictures. And this has some drawings. There's a nude pop-out of Jay in the middle. So you'll want to pick this up. We'll take a break. We'll be back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Jay McGraw.
What's going on?
Jay's no doctor, but his dad is, and that's close enough. Phil McGraw, who is his dad, also a big relief pitcher for the Phillies in the 70s and early 80s.
That was Tug.
Tug McGraw.
Yeah, oops.
He authored Life Strategies, which was a big bestseller. And Jay's followed in his father's footsteps and written Life Strategies for Teens. And that is out everywhere. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
And it is 10 weeks now on the New York Times bestseller list. So however many people, can't be wrong. I don't know how many you got to sell to get on that bestsellers list, but I know you got to sell quite a few. Yes?
I guess so.
All right.
So what they tell me?
Good times. All right. Well, the success has not gone to your head. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
Oh, well, I lied to get in. I lied about the question again like that other two callers did.
Right.
And I have first a question for that author guy. And I was just wondering.
Thanks, man. Go ahead.
I was just wondering what he did to become like an author because I want to be a poet. And I just don't know how to go about it.
I tell you what, email me, jmcgraw.com. It's a really exciting question.
All right, cool. Hey, I got another question.
Wait a minute, can your dad write a book on poetry?
Yeah, really.
What's that?
I'm just busting Jay's chops over here. Hey, listen, Chris.
Yeah.
I know you asked this to Jay, but as a artistic type myself.
Adam's an author.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm an author.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot I was an author. As an author of children's books, I can tell you this. if you're a poet, you write just write. Just keep writing.
Okay.
I mean, don't plan it out. Don't think about it too much, especially at 17. Just just hone your craft and work your material and see where it goes. And contact Jay via's email.
I got another question.
Yes.
Well, I've had kind of like a pretty rough past, and now that I'm trying to like, I just got out of a pretty long relationship, and I keep meeting like the wrong type of girls. I don't know if they're the wrong type of girls or if I'm just getting, like, scared and running away from them or whatever, but...
Do you have a poem about that?
No.
Do you have any poem?
Do I have what?
Yeah, I'd like to hear a poem.
You want to hear a poem?
A short poem.
Yeah, you called up. You said you're a poet.
Right.
Do you have a poem? Anything?
I'd have to look for one.
Well, why don't you do that?
Look, and I'll answer your question. These girls that you're attracting that are weird, you have to realize that you're creating the experience that you have by the way that you walk and the way that you talk, the way that you dress, the places that you hang out. I mean, weird girls don't hang out in certain places, and so you're obviously going to weird girl places. No, but, I mean, think about it. What are you doing to attract these girls? And if you don't like that, change it. Are you talking to them a certain way? Are you dressing a certain way? Are you hanging out in the wrong place?
Change something. Not really.
All right, but here's what Jay is saying. Mm-hmm. Jay is saying, what is your role in this situation? Meaning, whatever facet of life you're interested in getting answers to, you should always figure out what your role is. If you got fired, what was your role in getting fired?
You can only control one person, that's you.
Right. If the boss and people that are shorter than you and make less money than you do, I've learned that now. But if you got fired, if you just say, I got canned because my boss is an a-hole, then you get nothing out of it.
That's right.
And maybe your boss is an a-hole, but you should still look at what your role was in getting fired. And if your girlfriend dumps you, maybe it's because she's a bitch. But what? Why were you attracted to a bitch? And exactly what was your role?
I'm attracted to, like, I like girls that, like, treat me like.
Oh, with the S word.
Thanks, buddy.
What kind of choice of verbiage is that for a poet?
And y'all don't talk like that in Salt Lake City, do you?
This one does. All right. Listen, Chris.
Yeah.
Give us that poem, would you please? Did you find one?
No, I didn't. They're all really long.
Okay, just give us the first paragraph off of one.
The first paragraph of one.
Yeah.
Let me look here.
Jesus Christ. Come on, buddy. You're a poet, right? Here's a national
Don't
forum.
You remember it? Come on. Think of something.
All right. Man, I can't
Hold
do this.
Hold on a second. Anderson, what do you want? Anderson, don't direct the goddamn show from the booth. You're pointing at something. I think something's on fire. Jesus Christ. Chris, I'm sorry.
All good.
All right, give me that poem.
Dude, I can't find
it. All right, then.
Forget it.
What the hell? Everyone's somebody. They just don't do it. They're singers, they're musicians, they're poets, and every time I ask them to come through, they're not ready.
That's right.
All right, anyway, Chris, you're attracting these screwballs, so it's you that needs to change. Don't question them. Crystal?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
About 6 months ago, I was raped.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I'm, like, terrified to get out of my house.
Who raped you?
Some of my friends at the party. They drugged me with their Hypno.
And were these were guys you knew then, right?
Yeah.
And was this more than one guy?
It was seven.
Seven guys?
Yeah.
And what about before this?
No, I was never raped before that or anything.
Physical abuse?
My dad abused me.
Yeah. What did he do to you?
He was an alcoholic, and he would beat on me, you know.
Yeah. The reason I ask is because whenever somebody gets raped, like what happened to you,
uh-huh,
with the Rohypnol and the seven guys and everything, and it's not your fault in any way, shape, or form, but there's always a history of some abuse, mm-hmm, before this, and it's what helps set you up, mm-hmm, in a way. It's what makes you think these guys are your friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's why your spidey sense isn't tingling.
They know, yeah.
When you're hanging out with a-holes and criminals.
Yeah.
Did you call the police?
Yeah, but the police didn't do anything about it the first 2 days. And so by the time they got around to doing the rape test thing on me, whatever,
mm-hmm,
there was no technical evidence, like sperm.
Right.
Prove that they did it.
Right.
But there was, like, physical evidence. Like, I was torn.
Right.
Crystal, like, there's legal things that you can do to punish the guys and to do all that. And you're obviously, it's obviously affecting your life even now that it's over and done with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say something that'll probably really surprise you, but you have to forgive the guys for doing it. And I don't mean that you go to them and you say that it's okay. You don't decide in your mind that what they did was okay, but you have to say, you screwed me over back then. You did something to hurt me back then. And now, 6 months later, I'm continuing to do that for you. You hurt me then, I'm hurting me now. And you can't do that to yourself. You have to say, look, that's over and done with. I don't want it to happen again. They don't deserve to get away with it. But unless they get punished criminally or whatever it is, I'm going to quit thinking about it. I'm going to forgive them in my mind for doing that, because otherwise you're punishing yourself each and every day for what they did to you 6 months ago. That's not fair to do to yourself.
Uh-huh.
But it's also, I think, almost an impossibility for a 15-year-old who was gang raped this way.
Yeah.
Listen, Jay's right on paper, but it's hard to get your mind to work that way. And obviously, you're going to need some counseling.
That's right.
And you're going to have to sort of go to work to counteract this. You're essentially going to have to rehab as if you got into a bad car accident.
That's right. But I'm not talking about sitting around and waiting for this warm wave of forgiveness to come over you and say, oh, what they did was okay, I forgive you for that. Make a conscious decision, and Adam's right, you're going to have to get help with this and you're going to have to work on it every day, but make a conscious decision in your mind. Say, I decide today that I'm not going to wake up tomorrow hating them for doing that to me. Because if you do that, then you're still punishing yourself for them doing that to you. And don't give them that power. Take your power back from them, because you're helping them. You're giving them power by letting them affect you 6 months later.
Well, speaking of that, what can we do to try to prosecute these guys? What's being done?
Nothing. I mean, I live in Riverside, so it's the cops here, kind of.
Well, I mean, you went to the cops.
I went to the cops, right.
Almost immediately after you were drugged and gang raped.
Right when I woke up.
And they said, there's just nothing we can do.
They investigated. And because I don't really remember that much of it.
Right.
So I remember bits and pieces, but because I don't remember that much of it.
Okay.
All
right.
Everybody denied it, and so...
All right, well, then, listen.
Well, of course they denied it.
Crystal, yeah. Here's the deal, then. You may not get legal satisfaction out of this, but you still can, you know, get a life satisfaction out of it, which is having a good life. You sound fairly together for someone who's been through a lot in your life, and let me tell you a couple of things besides what Jay told you. You are much more likely to have this happen again than your average person who wasn't... who didn't suffer abuse growing up and who wasn't gang raped and all this kind of stuff. You have to get yourself help or this will be a pattern, all right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry this happened to you. You know what you have to do now, and it's time to start doing it.
But I've been in rape counseling since I was raped, and it really hasn't done much for me.
I know, but you know what? It takes you don't have a choice, really. I mean, what's your choice, like being out of rape counseling?
That's
you
not
know what I mean?
Either.
But and, like, and this stuff takes a while. Yes, Jay was going to say he was raped this morning, and
no, this morning when you woke up or sometime today, you thought about it and it made your day worse, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to answer right because
right.
I put her on hold.
Okay, that's right. So every day,
I'll play her.
Okay, you play her.
Yes.
Every time you think about this, Crystal, it makes your day bad again. And so you have to get help and rape counseling, whatever it is, and go to them and tell them, what I want to do is quit thinking about this every day of my life. Help me do that. Because every time you think about it, it's making your life worse, and you're giving them power over your life, and they don't deserve that.
JR?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm gay, but I had sex with a woman, and now I want to break up with my boyfriend.
Congratulations.
Well, so you're not gay, maybe.
Well, I don't know, because I still have feelings for him.
For your boyfriend. But you had sex with women.
One.
A woman. You like women? They're so loose.
You know, they're all right.
I see. All right. I mean, not all of them. Anne's shaking her head over there. I'm just saying, compared to a guy, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't do the math. You can't compete with a guy, Anne. I mean, you're good.
Yeah.
But you ain't no dude.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe you're bi then, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't know, really.
Well,
what's your question?
You can't be gay and with a woman, can you?
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. Let's
ask. Not what Webster says.
Let's ask Mr. Owl. He may know. Listen, JR, you're obviously confused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the deal. I'll draw my little confusion analogy. You can use this when you write your next book, Jay.
Thanks.
You're heading down the highway. It's a dark highway, and your map is blown out the window. You're not familiar with this territory. You come to a fork in the road, and you don't know which way to go. So do you speed up, or do you just sort of pull over and wait for daybreak and talk to some old-timer at a gas station and get directions? I know this sounds kind of muddled, but what I'm saying is don't speed up. You're confused. You're in a fork in the road. Stop. Don't go anywhere.
Stop and figure out what's going
stop
on.
Stop and figure out what direction your penis wants to go. Does it want to go to a vagina land or anusville? You know what I mean? I mean, you don't know if you're gay. You don't know if you're straight. You're with a guy. You have feelings for a woman. You don't think you're heterosexual, yet you're attracted to a woman. You're 17 years old. You're spinning around like a whirling dervish. Just stop. Just get out of this relationship with the guy. Obviously, this isn't where you're at. And just take some time and find yourself. People aren't going to solve your problems, and relationships aren't going to solve your problems. They just kind of numb you. It's really, relationship is like booze and drugs for a lot of people, which is you have a problem that you should be dealing with. You don't want to deal with it, so you just get loaded every night. And you can waste a few years in a relationship not focusing on the matter at hand. And for Jay, I'm sorry, Jay, but for Junior over here, it's his sexuality. Don't find your answers in another person. Just take a break.
I agree completely.
Speaking of taking a break, we're going to take a quick break here. And we'll be back with more Jay McGraw after this. It is Loveline. Phone number. Oh, forget about that phone number. Hey, Kathy Griffin, the fiery redhead comedian, is going to be on here.
She's a good friend of yours, right?
Very good, very good, very tight, very close. We had sex, friend of mine. Kathy Griffin is, no, she actually is a friend of mine. I've been to a few of her parties, and I'm going to her wedding. And the thing I got to get into her with her, she's having her wedding sponsored. Ann, can you hear me over there? And I got Kathy Griffin's wedding invitation a couple weeks back, and her wedding is being sponsored by, like, Seagram's and Miller and, like, Chef Boyardee or something, and, you know, Ann Taylor or whoever the hell makes these outfits and stuff.
Seriously or a joke?
No, seriously. And then they're donating money, the money they would have spent on the wedding, or less, to some charity. It kind of, you know, makes sense, which is, instead of us dropping 50 grand on a wedding, why don't we donate $2,500? No. Why don't we donate
to the human fund?
Why don't we, to my kid's sister in Ohio, who has three kids. No, how about we donate the 50 grand and then I'll use my celebrity status, not me, but I guess Kathy, to talk to some of these bottlers and some of these food distributors and some of these hotel owners, and I'll get them just to donate all of their services. And I'll write sponsored by on the wedding. I don't know if she has to drive like a Miller light van or something when they leave. Or
Ty Miller cans to the bumper.
I don't know if she has to thank the Miller bottlers of Southern California when she takes her vow.
I do, and I would also like to thank Miller.
You know, when it's time to get married, it's Miller time. But, I picture a dress looking like the side of a NASCAR. Just a bunch of stickers on the side of it.
Going to make the train longer.
I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm going to get into that with Kathy tomorrow, and it may not be pretty.
Is it on TV or something?
I don't know. Yes, Wide World of Sports is going to cover it, along with barrel jumping. Kathy Griffin's wedding right after cliff diving from Acapulco. I have no idea. We'll get into that with Kathy Griffin tomorrow night. Jay McGraw is here tonight. Life Strategies for Teens is the name of his best-selling book. And let's talk to Justin. Justin is 22. Justin?
Yeah, what's going on, Adam?
Hey.
I don't know. My girlfriend asked me to do something the other night that I've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of wondering if maybe y'all knew what it meant. I mean, I've never heard of it. I kind of, you know, it kind of threw me off guard. I mean, I'm not freaking out, but.
What is it?
She wanted to put a diaper on me.
And have you then do what?
I have no idea. I mean, she just said she thought it'd be cute, blah, blah, blah. And we were laying in bed at the time, and
Do you have to make in your diaper?
I have no idea.
Do you have sex with her in your diaper?
I've never done it before, and she had brought it up, and she's talked about it a few times, and I thought she was playing around.
Hold on, dude. You never banged a chick in a diaper?
No.
You call yourself a man?
What's up?
I'm sorry.
What's up? I was banging chicks in diapers in high school. I was banging chicks in diapers when I was still in diapers. Well, why don't you investigate a little here? It doesn't sound good, but she wants to be sexual with you in these diapers, right?
I don't know, I guess. I mean, we're in bed, you know.
And is she talking about like a Pampers-type diaper or a Jesus-type diaper? Was that a diaper?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think I'd fit in a Pampers. I'm a little too big for that.
Well, they have ones for old people, too.
Yeah.
Depends. Justin, right. I got to tell you, if you don't want to do this, then you have to realize that if you do, you're teaching her that if she asks enough times, you're going to do it.
There's other things that she's wanted to do, we've done, and I'm just like, you know, that's cool, but that's kind of...
Well, like what?
Oh, like tie her up, you know, I mean, we've been together for a while, and she's kind of a freaky chick. So.
Hey, Justin, has she had a little trauma in her past, a little confusion?
Her parents and everything are cool, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
She's a little rich girl, but I mean, other than that.
Naughty. Where's this coming from, you think?
I have no idea. I'm kind of wondering, does it mean she wants kids or something? I mean...
No. No, how's she going to have kids? You're just going to fill yourself up with semen. And then she's going to have to change you and wipe your ass down and powder you, burp you.
Oh, dude. Oh, that's...
All right, listen, Justin, here's the deal. Don't do it because you don't want to do it. And I agree with Jay. You're setting kind of a dangerous precedent, and it's a little bit of a slippery slope. Once you start in on stuff, you'll just keep going. And you should take a good look at this one.
Yeah,
she wants the diaper.
The one.
That's right. You want her to be the mother of your children. She's wants you in a diaper. She's wants to be tied up. There's a little something cooking with her. I know you're just calling it kinky, but there's a little more to that, Aaron.
Yes.
You're 26?
Oh, hi, doctor. I'm sorry, not doctor.
Well, between Adam. The two of us.
Yeah. Hey, I'm also a poet, and I have a poem I want to read to you if you like.
I don't know. It's not as fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
how
right.
short is it? How short is it?
It's pretty short, and you can put it in your kid's book if you'd like.
Is it all clean? Right.
Make it quick, and it doesn't involve a guy from Nantucket. No.
All right, here we go.
All right, what's it about first? What inspired you to write it?
You get a little set up here.
I don't know. This vision of this kid just popped in my head, and I just started writing about him. His name's Johnny Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't incriminating, is it?
No, it's not.
Go ahead. I'll give you 15 seconds, right?
All right.
Go.
Little Johnny Wonder was under the udder of a cow named Buttercup Bell. He was there, of course, because under a horse there's nothing that drinks too well. As he squoze a squirt of milky white mirth and his cheeks began to swell, he leaked from his trap, "I think something stinks," as Buttercup winked, and realized he was lying in crap.
That's nice.
Poetry at its finest.
You do need to work with kids, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
All right.
I still got problems, though.
What are they?
Yeah.
You don't say.
Well, I'm going out with a lot of girls right now,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are, you know, really hot and all. But I just can't seem to get into any of them.
Really?
Not literally, but like I don't seem to get emotionally attached to any of them.
Right.
And but yet I'm not really just doing it for the action.
Right.
I'm kind of searching, but
right. I see what the attraction is with all these ladies. They look at you as a Jack Kerouac, Jim Morrison type, except for you sing about cows crapping on people instead of Native Americans.
Did you win them over with the poetry, Aaron?
A little bit, yeah. I got some serious.
No,
poetry.
No. You must be really good looking. You must be some kind of good looking.
Well, like.
Okay, just listen. You can't be intimate. You're dealing with a lot of people, and you're trying to avoiding the intimate process, right? Would you agree with that, Aaron?
That I'm avoiding the intimate process?
Yeah, by dating a lot of people at once.
Well, I'm kind of in a searching mode.
Yeah.
Well, then keep searching.
Okay.
Listen, I mean, you're 26, you're a guy, and there's not too many guys that are too good at this at 26. All right? But the fact that you're dating a bunch of people and a little bit freaked out means you're a little bit scared to get close. Anyone disappoint you at any point in your life? Did your mom leave the family or screw with you or anything like that?
Oh, well, my parents were divorced when I was 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's your mom?
She's doing really good. She used to be codependent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what that means, but...
I'm not necessarily afraid of intimacy with any of them, because, like, I enjoy it and everything. I just, every time I go out with someone, I seem to kind of hone in on something that really bothers me.
Yeah, okay, but when I say scared of intimacy, I don't mean scared of getting a BJ. I mean scared of having a real relationship with a real person. And you pick on these people, you find flaws in them so that you have a good reason not to be intimate. I don't mean sex, I mean have a real meaningful relationship. Excuse me one second, Jay, because we got to go, and I got to just say hi to Tom, who's been on hold for 1,000 years. Hey, Tom? Tom, you're 20. He's been on hold for 78
Tom,
minutes.
Tom, wake up, man.
Oh, he passed out. That's great radio, Jay. We've never had anyone pass out in the five-year history of the show, and tonight you put him to sleep.
Way to go, Tom.
God bless you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for the help in the ratings.
No problem.
We'll take a little break. We'll be back. There you go, everybody. Another fan of the show. I want to thank Jay McGraw for coming in here tonight and really doing a bang-up job. I don't know.
I had fun.
I imagine this is your first 2-hour radio gig, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And really, you just took to it like a fish to water.
Yeah, that Drew better watch out. He's just got young Jay nipping at his heels. All right. The name of the book is Life Strategies for Teens. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. So if you're a teen and you need some strategy, go out there and get that. The great Kathy Griffin will be in here tomorrow night. We'll figure out what's up with her sponsored wedding. And, newsflash, Dr. Drew, is it? Yes. We'll be back here tomorrow night, too. So we have two guests. It's a real tour de force tomorrow night. So, Jay, thanks a lot.
Adam, thank you.
And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Jay McCraw saying mahalo.